North Dakota State Bisons are well known for their football success. In fact, they preempted my team, Notre Dame, yesterday, but moved on to victory and defeated the enemy. You're probably familiar also with the Chicago Bears and maybe the Detroit Lions. Of course, there's Carson Wentz, who plays quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is also the name of a band that some of you who are older might know. Also the symbol for America. But have you ever heard of the sheep? Neither have I. No football team. Not even a Christian school or singing group is called the sheep, at least that I know of. No one uses the sheep as a symbol. Even New Zealand has more sheep than people. Why? Well, because of the nature of sheep. Sheep are helpless, they're passive, they're dependent creatures that smell. They're given to incessant bleating. That is, bleating. Making noise. They're constantly getting into trouble. When I pastored a church in Montana, a member of our church had a rather large flock of sheep. He was kind of unique in cattle country, but quite often on Sunday mornings, they were late to church. Why? They didn't sleep in. It was because they were chasing sheep who constantly got out of a very secure pasture. So typical of sheep. They have a knack for strain and getting into trouble. Hard-headed. Rams can bump heads all day, almost literally, and walk away unfazed. Helpless? Did you know that a sheep will die if they get on their backs and no one turns them over? They're like a turtle. Sheep are not particularly noble. They're not very intelligent. Easy prey for coyotes and wolves. So don't you find it interesting that the scripture describes God's people very often as sheep? And we must admit that it's a realistic characterization. We are very much like sheep. In fact, the prophet Isaiah put it this way: all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Old years long gone by, the sheep went astray as well as today. Listen to what God says to his people through the prophet Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel 34:22 and following. And as for you, O my flock, there's that imagery of God's people as being a flock of sheep. Thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, the rams and the he-goats. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, Jehovah, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, Jehovah, have spoken it. Here, God is promising the shepherd, not David himself, but the son of David, identified with David, who would come and be a true shepherd to God's sheep. Because just like sheep, we are constantly straying and getting into trouble, wandering away from the Lord's pasture and getting into spiritual and moral swamps, even following false shepherds. Like sheep, we tend to be hard-headed and stubborn and self-willed, sometimes just plain dumb. Knowing something is wrong, forbidden, harmful, sinful, yet going right ahead and doing it. We are in need, in fact, great need, of a true shepherd. And King David reminds us that the Lord, Jehovah, is that shepherd. Now, this wasn't a new thought with David. Listen to Jacob, the patriarch, as he blessed his son Joseph. This is Genesis chapter 48, verse 15. And he blessed Joseph, that is, Jacob did. And he said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Well, that word fed that Jacob uses is a Hebrew word that means to shepherd. And of course, one of the primary things that a shepherd does is feed the sheep or lead them to pasture so that they can eat. Jacob is saying that God watched over him and cared for him throughout his life and his travels all over, like a shepherd watching his sheep. Now notice also in Psalm 23, verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That word Lord is written in all caps. Do you notice that? That's a printing device to let you know that it's a special name for God. And that name is Jehovah. If you will, this is the proper name for God. In Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. That word God is Elohim. Elohim is kind of a generic word for God, like we use God. And cults use God and so on. But the covenant name for God is Jehovah. It's believed to be formed from the verb to be. So when Moses at the burning bush asked, you know, who shall I say is sending me? How did God respond? I am that I am. By the way, this is an expression that Jesus used of himself time and again. He used it alone, and he also used it in reference to characteristics. I am bread, I am light, and so on. The Jews understood exactly what Jesus was saying, and they tried to stone him for making himself equal with God. Jehovah, God, is. David is saying that the Lord God, Jehovah, is my shepherd. The sovereign creator of the universe, the covenant-making God, Jehovah, is my shepherd. He has graciously condescended to be a shepherd to his needy people. Specifically, that shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then, of course, John 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that is the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock of sheep, and one shepherd, Jesus Christ. The shepherd is Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, who gave his life for his sheep, who bought us with his shed blood, and he owns us. So the psalmist in Psalm 100 says, we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Peter says, this is 1 Peter 2:25, for you were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I should mention how Psalm 23 fits into the context. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are a trilogy. They fit together and they all relate to Jesus Christ. Psalm 22 is a psalm of the cross, shows the shepherd suffering for his sheep upon the cross. In fact, it even has the very words of Jesus upon the cross. Psalm 22 is a psalm of the crook, shows Christ as the shepherd who cares for his sheep. And Psalm 24 is a psalm of the crown. It shows Christ as the reigning king who comes to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is the shepherd, our shepherd. The term shepherd is found throughout the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, usually in a positive sense, although sometimes it's used of, for example, false shepherds. That would be false teachers, enemies of the gospel. Jesus sometimes calls them hirelings. That is, they're hired to shepherd. They're paid to shepherd, but they don't really care for the sheep. They don't feed the sheep and protect the sheep. And when the wolves come, they flee, Jesus says. The Bible talks about ordinary men who are called shepherds, particularly pastors, as Chris Pray, better called under-shepherds. The term, the word pastor is a term from the Greek it's derived from the Greek word for shepherd. That is, pastor to pastor and to shepherd are kind of the same thing as far as the meaning. But David is not talking about human shepherds, is he? Rather, he is talking about the shepherd of the sheep, the Lord God himself, Jesus the Christ. A shepherd is one who feeds and cares for his sheep. He takes them to the grass, to good pastures, and he takes them to water. And the reason that's necessary is because they don't take very good care of themselves. I don't know if you've been to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, but there's wild horses there. And they're elsewhere in the country as well, but a herd of them, and they run all over and they take care of themselves. And there's some wild buffalo as well that take care of themselves. Cattle can go wild and in history have gone wild and care for themselves, but sheep don't do a very good job of it. Both the animal and the people need a shepherd. Everyone loves Psalm 23. Even people that don't go to church, don't have a relationship with God, you go to a funeral of someone, maybe lived a pretty ungodly life, and there on the folder is Psalm 23. But few understand what Psalm 23 is saying. David knew about shepherds. He was one. He understood that for the good of the sheep, a shepherd had to control them, watch over them, rule over them, guide them, lead them to grass, lead them to water, to care for them. What David is confessing is that the Lord God was the loving, caring ruler of his life. He's professing and calling for us to understand as well that, like sheep, we need a wise shepherd. We do not know what is best for us. We think we do, but we don't. Like sheep, we constantly get ourselves into trouble. Not just sin, but all kinds of trouble. Christ is that shepherd that we need. He is the one who bought us, laid down his life for us, and he owns us. We are his. We're precious to him. And so he will, with love, protect us and care for us. After the resurrection, Jesus had a very interesting conversation with his disciple, Peter. And in John chapter 21, beginning with verse 18, we read this. Jesus is speaking, and he says, and he's talking to Peter, "When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That would be John. He'd also leaned on Jesus' breast at supper. And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Well, Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." What Jesus is saying is that his sheep are his. And as the shepherd, he will do with his sheep as he wills. Some sheep give milk, others lambs. Some sheep give wool, some give meat. Sheep serve the shepherd, not themselves. Some of the Lord's sheep served him best by dying a martyr's death, as Peter did. Many others have. While others serve by living a long life of service, as the Apostle John. Some by suffering. Think of Johnny Erickson Tada. I trust you've read some of her books. Jesus' point to Peter is that the shepherd owns the sheep. And the shepherd does with his sheep what he wills, for his own purposes, for his own reason, for his own glory. Some of us like sheep, or should I say all of us, like sheep, resist this. We stubbornly want our own way. But our own way always leads to trouble and sorrow. As someone puts it, it leads to brambles, bogs, and bears as we go our own way, doing our own will. If you are truly Christ's sheep, you need to yield to the shepherd. Submit to God's will for your life. Obey His word, the scriptures. Submit to the Lord's perfect, wise, and loving will. Something that a shepherd did was to mark his sheep as his own. Today they use tags and paint and such to do that. But in days gone by, they did it in a different way. Philip Keller, who was a lifelong shepherd, tells of a time when he purchased his first flock of ewes. He and his neighbor were admiring them, and his neighbor handed him a large sharp knife and said, "Well, Philip, they're yours. Put your mark on them." So Philip Keller proceeded to put his mark of ownership upon every sheep by notching their ear with a knife. There's a parallel in the Old Testament law. When a Hebrew slave was to be released from servitude, that is every 7 years. So if a Hebrew got into financial difficulty, he could become a bond servant, but was always released from that every 7 years. And yet, if he had come to love his master and to be comfortable in the circumstances he was in, he might choose of his own free will to stay a servant perpetually to that master. Well, the Old Testament law laid out a ritual that was to be performed. And he would stand, that is, the servant would stand against a doorpost, and the owner would take an awl, a small round knife, I guess you could say, and punch a hole in his earlobe in front of everyone else. And from that time on, he was marked as belonging to his master. Jesus marks his sheep as well. Under the Mosaic law, that mark was circumcision. Under the new covenant of Christ, that mark is baptism. Baptism does not save, but it is a sign and seal that we are the shepherd's sheep, that we belong to his flock, we're under his care. As Presbyterians, we believe this includes our children, just as it did in the Old Testament. Another mark that we are his sheep is the work of the Holy Spirit, conforming us to Christ in our attitude, in our conduct. For example, in John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says this, "By this mark," I put in the word mark, Jesus said by this, "but by this mark, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Galatians 5 points out to the fruit of the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit in God's people develop certain marks, certain characteristics of sheep that belong to the shepherd. Another lesson for us here is the one that we all struggle with. And that is that the shepherd loves and cares for his sheep. Being the witless sheep that we are, we often doubt the shepherd's love. We doubt his wisdom. And we wander off with trying to take better care of ourselves than we think the shepherd can do. We forget the promise of Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 9 and following. "O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Here God uses the imagery of sheep and shepherds, and the shepherds care for the sheep and use with their little lambs to picture his care, his loving care for his people, for his sheep. And God, in all of his power and majesty, comes to earth to shepherd his sheep, to care for us, his children, to hold the weak and the tender lambs in his arms. Think on this. The awesome God who created all things and rules in the universe as well as on earth, who strikes fear in the hearts of the ungodly, scoops us up into his arms and leads us and cares for us and nurtures us with a love that we cannot fully comprehend. What a wonderful shepherd he is to his sheep. How can you doubt? How can you question his wisdom, his love, his care for you? Philippians 4:19. The Apostle Paul says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God's people, his sheep, are loved of God from all eternity. Ephesians 1:4, "Just as he," that is God, "chose us in him," that is Christ, "before the foundation of the world," that's called election, "to the end that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Isaiah 49 speaks of this. God says, "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." Zechariah 2:8 speaks of God's people, his sheep. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you," that is God's sheep, "touches the apple of his eye." If you are in Christ this morning, the Lord is your shepherd. He loves you. He's always loved you from before the creation of the universe. And you are the apple of his eye. Children, that means like your pupil, and you don't want it touched. You protect it. You care for it. That's what God is saying the believer, that his sheep are to him. He cares for you, his sheep, with a perfect love. And as a believer, you must rest in that. And as you do, true peace that passes all understanding will fill your heart and your mind. There is one more important word in this passage. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus is not the shepherd to the world. The Bible calls unbelievers all kinds of names: wolves, goats, vipers, foxes. But those who are in Christ, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus the Lord, are his sheep. So David is making the point that the Lord is his shepherd, that Christ is especially a shepherd to me. David was a hard man. He killed more people than we can count, in the hundreds. Some of them rather brutally. God even called him a bloody man, and as a result, he was unqualified to build the temple of the Lord. He was guilty of all kinds of sins, including murder. He was a sinner, but he did love the Lord. And David, when confronted with his sin, readily repented of it and turned from it, acknowledged it. Because his heart desired to obey the shepherd. His heart desired to serve the Lord. And he claimed the Lord God, Jehovah, as my shepherd. And could rejoice in God's forgiveness of sin. So in thinking of this psalm, an important question arises. Is Christ Jesus your shepherd this morning? Are you one of his sheep? Are these verses for you? Can you say with David, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. That my name is inscribed in his nail-pierced hands. He knows me by name. He cares for me personally. Can you say that my shepherd knows the smallest details of my life, the greatest needs of my heart? He knows my sorrows. He knows my fears. He knows my doubts. My lack of faith. If so, listen to what the shepherd says to you in Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? That is, a penny. Very little. And not one of them, not a sparrow, falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head, if you're a sheep in the Lord's flock. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are of more value to the shepherd, to Jehovah God, than sparrows. My shepherd also knows my shortcomings. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my sins. He even knows my sinful desires. The psalmist, Psalm 103:14, speaking of God, he says, he knows my frame. He remembers that I am dust. And yet still my shepherd loves me. Isn't that a marvel? He loves me and he gave himself for me, the scripture says. My shepherd holds me lovingly in his omnipotent. Children, that means all powerful. His omnipotent arms. My shepherd values me. So much so that he died for me to make me his own. Can you say that Christ is your shepherd this morning? Do you recognize his ownership over you? Do you submit to his authority? Do you obey his commands? Do you love him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength? Are you at peace, resting in the loving care and guidance and provision of your shepherd?